All right, I want to call this joint meeting WPCA and Infrastructure Committee together at 6:02. And we'll start with the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge
allegiance
to the flag
of
the
United
States of America
and to the Republic for which it stands,
one nation
under God,
indivisible,
liberty and justice for all.
I, and for roll call, show that all three members of the WPCA are here, and Kelly and Rick are here from the Infrastructure Committee. Bob Bell is traveling and unable to log in. So we'll move on to the deep. And, you know, Rick, just for your benefit, we had a good meeting with DEEP about a month ago, talking about our next steps. And they were fantastic to deal with. You know, we had the long range plan that was first put in place, but never accepted back in 2014, revised once or twice since. And we had a good discussion with them. Our deadline for submitting that is December 31st of this year. But they added something to it. They want us to conduct an affordability study, and it's a requirement. And that's part of what we have to get done for the 31st of December. That's going to be a little bit of a challenge with the issues we've got currently in the city and staffing right now. So as I thought about it, we had a good working relationship with Ref Tellis. Well, let me backtrack a little bit before I get to them. The question then became, if we were going to hire anyone outside to do this, where would we get the funding from? And the more I thought about it, I said, well, the funding for this, since it's a requirement of DEEP for the long-range plan, I think the funding should come out of the original referendum funds. But that was just my opinion at that point. So I contacted, and I've got a mistake on the agenda. It should be Glenn Rybacki from Pullman and Conley. And they are the bond counsel for the city of Derby. So I contacted him and I asked if we could fund a study from the bond funds. And he's unable to make the meeting tonight, but he did agree. He said, yes, that would certainly be a fundable option from the original bond, because it's required for the long range plan that must be submitted. So with that as background, I did contact Ref Tellis again, and John is on with us. And my first inquiry was, could we use any of the data from the study work that they had done for us on the privatization issue? And John replied, yes, some of that would be relevant. But then luckily, at least I feel luckily, he also responded that they could also help us by actually doing the affordability study for us, because they've got experience in it. And I think I provided a document, showed some of the work that John had done, and they've done it for others. So I then asked John if he would, well, he offered to provide a proposal. I said, yes, please send us a proposal. He's done that, and that was in your packet. So with that, John, oh, wait, somebody else is there. John, I'm going to stop my share. And give me a second. Let's see if we can do this setting now. Hey, John, see if you can share. Oh, yeah. See if you can share. I think you should be all set.
Okay. Let me give that a shot here. Let's see.
Yeah, man, I think it's still showing my. Okay, there you go.
Does that work?
Yeah, that works. You're fine.
Okay, good. Good. Well, thanks, Jack, for the opportunity to speak tonight. So yes, we put together a scope of work that is in compliance with the financial capability assessment or affordability study that DEEP is requesting. And I was just gonna walk through what's in our proposal and scope of work, and then What is specifically being requested by DEEP, and how is it, you know, how is it going to be used, and you know, what's entailed in terms of the analysis? So let me go ahead and jump in. It's a short presentation here.
Okay.
So you asked us to complete what's called a financial capability assessment, and that is per some new guidance that came out by the EPA earlier this year, called the Clean Water Act Financial Capability Assessment Guidance. And that document is new. However, the analyses that are requested in that document are really an update to similar analyses that were in place prior to 2023. So we're really, really familiar with that. We've followed this guidance prior to 2023. We've done work on financial capability assessment and affordability. We actually, as this guidance document was being created by EPA, EPA reached out to a number of the water sector agencies, and we were doing some work for the water sector agencies, helping to inform how this guidance should be changed. So I'm intimately familiar with the guidance, let me just show you. I'll show you how it works. But so as part of our scope of work, we would complete the FCA analysis and then prepare a report that DEEP would require for their review. And then oftentimes what happens is we complete the report, we share it with the regulators, and then the regulators have questions and comments, and they want to work through it with the WPCA and the consultants. So I've included some as needed time. If that were to occur, then that was also some time that we built into our scope of work as well. So those are the three elements. The main purpose of the financial capability assessment is really to assess the reasonableness of an implementation schedule for the capital program, and depending upon how the assessment comes out, the WPCA in the city would either score in a kind of a high, medium, or low range in terms of financial capability and customer affordability. And based on those ranges, the schedule for continuing to implement the program and how much time would be allowed to complete it is in part based on the outcome of the FCA. So that's really what it's used for. It's really a start of negotiations. It's not the only consideration that comes into play when you're negotiating schedule. All right. So in the financial capability assessment, there are the guidance in 2023 provides two alternatives to completing the analysis, and I call it kind of the first alternative is more of a static measures driven alternative, and I'll give you a taste for that in just a second. The second alternative is using a year by year long term annual cash flow forecast and rate projection to inform what is financially feasible, what's affordable, what could the WPCA do with based on their financial capabilities. And so that alternative two is directly aligned with the financial modeling work we did for the privatization. Because if you remember, we ran a scenario where we looked at the projected rates and the projected financial plan if the WPCA were to retain ownership of the wastewater system. And so we have a good model to start from. It needs to be updated, but that is a great starting point for this alternative too. So let me walk through this in a little bit more detail. Alternative one, as I said, it's metrics driven. There are a number of metrics that get calculated in this Alternative One Financial Capability Assessment. The first metric is what's called a residential indicator. And that what that is calculating the typical or average annual residential wastewater bill compared to median household income within the service area. And then that ratio is called the residential indicator. And then the residential indicator is compared to different impact scores. So if we do the calculation and the community shows an annual cost as a percentage of median income that's greater than 2%, that would be considered a high impact. Then there are a number of other financial capability indicators that that get at the ability of the community to absorb additional cost. And so and it looks at the kind of financial viability of the community. So you can see some of the metrics on the right side, which are related to how much debt does the community currently have, and in comparison to full assessed property values. It looks at what's the unemployment rate in the community, what's the bond rating for the WPCA or the city, and also some other metrics on tax collection rates and things like that. So it's a broad-based series of measures that EPA uses that some of them I think are relevant, some of them are less relevant for the WPCA. So here's what happens. You take the residential indicator score, that cost as a percentage of median household income, and you compare that with your financial capability indicator scores, whether it's strong, mid-range, or weak. And so if those scores are weak for financial capability indicators and a high impact, greater than 2% cost as a percentage of median household income, the result of this matrix is a high impact to the community, to the utility, and that provides it provides EPA and DEEP with information to show that, well, there should be some schedule relief because the impacts associated with implementing the program are high. In addition to these two metrics, Alternative One also goes into a bunch of other ones, and I won't get into all the details here, but many of those other metrics, if you kind of scan through them, are related to the predominance of poverty within the community. And so you look at it a number of different ways in terms of poverty prevalence, and then you combine this with the previous measures that I just mentioned, and you do another matrix. And so all this information kind of boils down to these matrices that show whether the community is in high impact or not. I don't like this. I don't like Alternative One, and that's why I propose to not do it this way. One of the reasons why I don't like it is because for communities that have relatively high cost of living, comparing utility bills to a median income doesn't reflect all the other essential needs and all the essential services that income has to pay for. And some of those other services and other needs like housing and healthcare and food, if they're higher in your community than they are at the national average level, then you're gonna actually show a lower impact than your actual affordability impact is. So that's one of the reasons why I don't like doing Alternative One. Well, now let me show you what we would do under the second alternative under the financial capability assessment. So the way this works is we would use a long-term financial planning model that would project out revenues, expenses, the amount of additional utility rate increases that would be necessary to be able to pay for the capital programs, essentially all of the needs of the utility, not only the regulatory program, but any other needs that the utility has, like replacing aging infrastructure, dealing with you know, other issues that may come up for the utility. So we build all that in, including operations expense, maintenance expense, and we do a cash flow forecast and show the rate impacts of this. We convert the rate impacts to a customer bill. What does the customer bill, how is that going to change over time as the capital program gets implemented? Then we use that customer bill and we will compare to some of the metrics, income metrics and other things that reflect the burden that bill is going to place on the customers of the system. And then we'll use that information to assess financial capability as you go on into the future. And so that's really alternative two. And the results might look something like this. So this is just an example. It's not you. It's not Derby, but this is an example of an analysis that we've done for another client where we had a large capital program, and you can kind of see the dollars at the top in terms of the amount of capital spend over the next 10 years. We developed a financial plan in terms of how the capital needs would be funded, whether it be debt funded or cash funded or through grants or whatever. Then that produced a series of rate increases over time. And some of them were really, really high based on the magnitude of the capital needs. We converted the wastewater rate increases to how would the residential wastewater bill change over time. And then we compared that projected residential bill to median income and the income at the 20th percentile. And really the 20th percentile is reflective of lower income customers or residents. And then there are some metrics that you can use. So you can use the cost as a percentage of median household income, and you can track when in time would that go up above the 2% affordability threshold, which in this example, after year six, after implementing a significant capital program, rates would need to rise. And then the cost to a resident compared to median income and compared to lowest quintile income would be substantial. And so it's this type of analysis that can be informative to help develop a implementable capital program and then justify that with deep in terms of why you need a little bit longer to a longer schedule for implementation to try to lessen the burden on customers. So it's a lot more, I think this is a lot more kind of a real analysis that shows what the projections might look like rather than kind of the static series of metrics. So this is kind of what we would do for Derby in terms of the analysis, and then we would document that all in a report that describes all the key inputs and assumptions and et cetera.
And John, that looks very similar to what you did for our Aquarian
price. Yes, it is very similar. We would need to go in and update anything that's outdated. We would need to add some of the income metrics to it because I don't think we looked at that when we did our analysis, and then vet everything and then document show how it's in compliance with the FCA analysis that Deep asked you to go through. But it is very similar to what we did previously. So what happens in the FCA analysis, you do this either alternative one or this alternative that I'm showing you on the screen. And then what's in the new guidance is that you can't just stop here and say, oh, there's a high burden on low income customers. You have to demonstrate to the regulators that you're trying to alleviate that burden. And they want you to work through what they call this financial alternatives analysis. And it's kind of like a checklist, but they want you to kind of expand upon what are you doing in terms of rate design to lessen the burden on low-income customers? What are you doing on financing options? Are you looking to state revolving loan funds or other subsidized loan programs to lessen the the rate increases. Are you doing other things in terms of helping customers with assistance in paying their bill, like a payment plan or things like that that can lessen the burden? And then after you go through all of this financial alternatives analysis, then you can say, all right, we've done everything that we can do to lessen the affordability burden, and we're still above these affordability thresholds. And then you get to the kind of the meat of the analysis, or the result of the analysis is, depending upon where you fall in terms of low impact, medium impact, or high impact, then this is an EPA schedule type of thing. The DEEP may have different schedule guidelines, but this is what's in the guidance. If you're high impact, you generally have 20 to 25 years for implementation. If you're medium, it's less, it's like 15 years. And then if you're low impact, they just want you to do the implementation in accordance with how quickly you can do it based on your construction schedule. So they provide some general guidance on schedule, but this is where the negotiation really comes in. And you can make other arguments for why your schedule should be longer or shorter, based on individual, other non-economic arguments. So so that's the gist of the FCA analysis. And I'll just stop there and see if y'all have any questions.
I would just ask Rob Tedeschi to weigh in here for a second, because he's, our engineer working on the rest of the plan. Rob, comment, please.
Yeah, definitely. I had a couple questions. So for the cap, can you go back to that spreadsheet?
This version here? Yeah, sure. Yeah,
so that version, so that top line is your capital outlay every year. So how long would you make this? And then I think you answered the question a couple slides later. It's probably going to be medium to high impact. So
it's going to be I would go out 20 years. Yeah. Some of this, like, we can start with 20 years. And if it fits within 20 years and we're seeing acceptable rate adjustments, and we're seeing that the affordability burdens are rising but not going too high, and you can fit it in with a 20 year time frame, then that would be, maybe that's what you propose. But if it looks like there's a major affordability issue, then we certainly could extend it out further. And so it really depends on what the first analysis looks like, and then we can kind of adjust it from there and go further out into the schedule, into the future, if we needed to.
Yeah. So when we met with DEP, they said that they would look at phasing in the project as we had suggested and been talking from day one, based on affordability, and that's what this analysis would show. So we have an overall project capital outlay. There's it documented in the facilities plan. It's a $60 million program with, at a certain year we can implement that. There's 14 subcomponents to that. Mm-hmm. And then we can break that down further. I think the first step we would want to know is, well, we do analysis of the whole program, but would what would phase one look like, and what could it look like that would be affordable to the community and acceptable to DEEP? So,
So we can certainly look at the current phase one plan and lay it out in a way that collectively we think makes sense, and then look at the affordability side of things and see if that works. And I also would just point out that it is, this is the total financial need of the utility. We don't look at just the program in isolation. So if there are, for example, if there are operational impacts associated with the capital program, we'd want to build in the any increases in operating expenses. If there's some improvements that would be needed, but they're outside of the program, but you think there's still a need for it. If those costs or those capital needs can be estimated, that should also be included. So for example, if there are asset management elements that should be addressed, we can build those in as long as they're reasonable assumptions and we have reasonable justification for including those. It's really all of the expenses of the utility, the best we know about in terms of what the future needs are.
Yeah, so if you if one of the processes added, say, additional chemicals, and you would want to know what our projected chemical costs would be.
Yes.
And you can program that in, things like
yep.
that. So
yep.
You provide the PCA with this checklist of during the information gathering, what you're looking for, so we can gather that for you.
Yeah, and that's really our first step would be to put that list together of things that are necessary to build out the financial plan. And this, what you're seeing on the screen is certainly kind of a simplified version for the presentation, but it's, we obviously have a lot more detail behind it. We would put together an information list and then, work with you, Rob, and the WPCA to gather the information, and then we'd be good to run the analysis. So,
and I assume this would be an iterative process where the top line there, the CIP outlay, as you can adjust that to meet a certain implementation plan so that the bottom lines stay under 2%. So what the target would be, no red on that bottom line, is that
right? Right. Yeah. Yeah. And actually we can work it backwards too. So sometimes what we'll do is we'll run the analysis at what level of capital keeps you below capital spending keeps you below the 2%. And then we'll show, we could show that to you and say, look, this is what the year by year cash flow shows. And that this is what keeps you under 2%. Does that work for the program? Or is that like way underestimate what the capital needs are, or does it fit? And if it doesn't fit, then maybe we look at a longer schedule, maybe we try to sequence things a little differently.
That's exactly what we would be looking for, I think, is that tell us, because what you say and what capital outlay keeps us under the 2%, or if maybe we want 1.5, I don't know, at some point, and then we could back into what is a reasonable implementation, what is reasonable for phase one.
Yes. Yeah. I think that's the best way to work it. Mm-hmm.
So yeah, those are my expectations of that. So,
okay.
I think you've answered my questions.
Okay, great.
Does anyone else on the committee have a question?
I have a question about the, when you're looking at the income levels of all the people.
Yes.
How do you take into account all the rental properties? Because like on my street, there's 22 units. The only people who own them, there's me and my wife, and then the lady next door and her daughter. So out of the 22, there's only three that are owner residents. So the people who live there aren't paying the sewer bill and aren't paying the water bill. And they may be low income, but some of the owners may not even, a lot of the owners don't even live in Derby. So I don't know how that gets factored, because I know we have a lot of rental properties. We have a lot of low-income people in a lot of rental properties, a lot of people on the food stamp, EBT cards, and segregated housing. But the owners of those buildings are making a boatload of money, so their income is obviously a lot higher. Like I make a lot, my tenants make, but I don't know how that factors into our plan, because we have a lot. Like if you do an Orange and there's one apartment building in Orange, everything else is basically a single family house, it'd be pretty straightforward. Mm-hmm. But in Derby, I think we have a lot of mixed housing, and we're getting more downtown too. But those will probably be higher income people. But the owner of that building, their income, who pays the bill, is ridiculously high.
Is higher. Yeah. No, that's a great question. The way we account for that is when we pull income data, we can get or we get income data from the U.S. Census Bureau and the American Community Survey, and that provides the best information that we can get in terms of household income for all the households within the community. And so we would compare, so we're just looking at residential households as and those income statistics. And then what we're comparing it to is a residential bill. So we would need to be careful in terms of how do we characterize the residential bill, because single unit residential might be different than multifamily units. And so there are some considerations in the guidance to kind of get at that. And some of that it relates to what do you assume the bill consumption is for your typical household. And so again, we follow the guidance, and the guidance is pretty prescriptive on that. But I've also found that we can if it's helpful, we can provide additional information that's not in the guidance to try to tease some of that out. And if it shows like, look, there's lots of low income households that are in rental properties, and not only do they don't pay a bill directly, but they're paying through the landlord. At least we can make some assumptions that, well, some of their payments to the landlord include utility bill payments. And so we do the best we can with the data we have and try to account for that.
Yeah, because I just think I don't want it to be skewed too much to the lower income, and it looks like we're paying a higher percentage when the people who are actually paying the bills are not being, their income's not really being accounted for.
Right. Yep. That's, yeah, there's all. lots of
a lot here in Derby.
Yeah. Okay.
That's
good,
all.
Good comment.
Other questions? No, I sat in on a seminar yesterday about the revolving loan fund, Clean Water Act funds. And I'm guessing that whatever comes out of this report affects our score, which would affect what funding we'd be available for. Would that be correct?
I think that, I mean, some of the criteria relates to what the funding is going to be used for. And I think you might score favorably on some of those criteria. I haven't looked at the criteria in a while, but did you see, Jack, a needs criteria? So if you're a needy community, then you...
In general, they didn't get into full detail on the scoring, but they were talking about it. And I was rather encouraged from what I was hearing. They also noted that in Connecticut, the Clean Water Act funds could be up for up to 100% of the project.
Mm-hmm.
The full funding, which I don't think we thought about that before, that can be reduced by grants. And I think the grants would be more based on the financial need that's shown here. The other positive was the interest rates on that is only 2%.
Yeah.
So again, that's why we have to make sure we get this report done in time that we qualify. And Rob, they were talking about the timeline for submitting to get on the priority list. Can you talk about that?
Yes, we did submit the project for consideration of the priority list. I was at a conference on Monday, and they were talking about this specifically. Carlos Esquera was talking about this. And there's different categories and scoring. They haven't done it yet. They're in the process. The list should come out later this fall, they said. One of the criteria is, I think the main one was, how many people are going to benefit from this, from the project that you presented for the priority list. They did mention, I didn't write the exact number, but it was a few billion dollars worth of capital. I think it was like $2.4 billion.
Yeah, quite a bit.
worth of projects that were submitted for this coming fiscal year.
Wow.
So there was and obviously I don't believe they have that much to give out, but there will be a prioritization process. The first category was population served. So the MDCs, they're serving hundreds, thousands of people. They seem to gain points there. There was different points for nitrogen removal, phosphorus, and green infrastructure. Right, there's criteria for that. But yeah, there's still the process. We should know in the next couple of months where we find. Yeah, and there's a 2% loan to that.
And I think it was a 20-year payback on that, starting a year after all the construction is completed. So you got a 1-year grace period there to start with the payment. So it's encouraging. But the bottom line is none of that comes into play until we get this study done. All right, this study is required of us. I don't see the city's ability to do this on its own. I open that for the other members of the committee. I don't see any way in the world we can complete this study without help.
No, I agree 100%. That's why I mentioned the loans and the grants. There's got to be something out there to help Derby.
I will say Deep was very supportive. In all my years here, that last meeting we had with them was the best. I also should note that Ann Stewart was on the conference that I was on yesterday. So obviously they're still trying to get more information about how it will work. But I think they're willing to work with us. And that's why it's important that we get this done and we get it done on time. So with that, I would entertain a motion to say, I also asked John to prepare a possible contract because, as I said, the clock is ticking towards December 31st. So John sent me a contract based on the proposal you just have, and I sent that off to the Corporation Council to get their review, because we'll need that review before anyone can sign it. And of course the mayor would be the one signing this, not us. So that's just some further background, because I'm trying to keep this moving, because I look at that deadline and I think it's going to be a challenge. So I would ask for a motion.
Can I just ask one quick question of John before we make a motion? Yeah. Can you get this done in the next 10 weeks? That's by the end of December.
Yeah, I know Jack mentioned the schedule. It's tight, but yeah, I think we can, because we have a jump start on it with the work that we had done previously. And so yeah, we're committed to getting that done. So we'll need some information from Robin, assuming that the information on the capital needs and stuff are available at this point, and there's not a delay in getting some of the information requests satisfied. We don't have an issue on our end getting the analysis done. So,
excellent, thank you.
And Rick, that's especially important because we're short staffed right now.
I know.
At WPCA, and I'm also concerned with working with the finance department, because I'm sure they'll have to come up with some of these numbers as well. So. I think it will be a challenge, but
that is going to be tough. But all right, so you want a motion from the infrastructure?
No, it could, yeah, it could be one motion for both, and each will have to vote separately on it.
All right,
Jack. Excuse me. Before we make a motion or vote, are we acting on alternative A or B, or one or two, or are we doing both and seeing which one suits us better to present to Deep?
Donna, let's open up for you.
I'm just a little confused on
that's
that.
A good question.
Yeah. So the scope of work is to focus on alternative two. Mm-hmm. And I believe alternative two provides you with the most amount of flexibility to show, to make your case, and to show how the plan that you put together works for you. I don't think alternative one does that at all. And also from my experience, if you do alternative one and you get a medium impact, when you do alternative two, you'll generally be in the same range, but you'll have more information. So that's why I think alternative two is better. So yeah, it's just doing alternative two. If Deep says no, we want both, then it's a little bit more effort to complete alternative one and two together, which we didn't include in our scope.
All right. Well, I would go with your expertise to say, you know, one or two, when you're saying two. I just wanted to know if we're presenting two alternatives and then choosing from there. But it sounds like we're going to go with number, you're recommending we go with number two, and that's what is presented to Deep. Okay.
All right. And Rob, you agree with that?
Yeah, I would just add, when you do alternative two, it looks like, and Johnny, correct me if I'm wrong, but you are actually doing alternative one, because you are the criteria for alternative one is the 1%, 1 to 2% based on median household income. So it's just spread out over a period of time. So they get more information, like I said, more flexibility. So I think.
That's true. I mean, we're using some of the measures from alternative one, but not all of them. So there are those financial capability indicators, those six indicators. We're not calculating those. We're not doing the poverty prevalence piece unless, that's not built into alternative two. But we are looking at all the income metrics. So it's kind of a kind of a combination.
Yeah, you're looking at the median income, and so what's it gonna cost people? So that's a good metrics.
Yep.
That's in that second one. We can, like Rob said, we can stagger which parts of the plant we do over the phases to spread the money out over the years to try to keep the percentage down lower. So it makes that's sense.
Right. Yep.
All right, so Rick, do you want to finish with your motion then?
Yeah, I'll make a motion that we accept the proposal from Raftellis for the completion of financial capability assessment, and that was submitted in our package.
Okay. Do I have a second?
I second that.
Okay. And we can do all both committees at the same time. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Abstain. Right, no. The motion is carried. So the next step, John, will be we have to hear back from the Corporation Council. And as soon as we do that, we'll get it signed. The mayor will have to sign it. Hopefully we can get that done in a day or two. I don't know. But I would like to start as soon as possible. I am concerned about our ability to fight.
Okay. Yeah, we'll be ready and geared up to go. So we'll look for that in the next day or two. And anything we can do to help on that end, just let us know.
Okay. Very good. All right. Next item on the agenda was approval of bond-related bills. I looked back 2 months. I didn't see any bills. Oh, wait a minute. I think I did. I think I saw.
There's a tab there.
This, Rob, can you see this?
Yes.
Have you been paid on this?
I don't have that in front of me. We've been paid or not.
From August. And it's marked bond. And I think our committee approved it. So I would just ask if someone on the infrastructure committee would make a motion to pay this bond. Because, again, WPCA already did that contingent upon. So just in case you haven't done it. It's $150.
Yeah. Sorry, I can make a motion that we approve the Weston and Sampson invoice 8231018 for $150.63 from August 4th, 2023.
All right. Kelly, you want to second that?
Sure, second.
Okay, and just the two of you will be voting on it. So all those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed, abstained. Okay, we're set on that. And with that, for this meeting, a motion to adjourn would be in order.
I'll make that motion since I'm going to leave.
Second, all in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Bob?
Aye.
Opposed, abstained. All right, this first, the meeting, joint meeting is adjourned at 6:47. I'm going to ask for like a 3-minute break, and then we'll come back and we'll do the WPCA monthly meeting. I see we have several people here just for that meeting. So give us 3 minutes, go get a drink, use the restrooms, whatever you have to do, because the next meeting could be just as long. Thanks.
Guys, have a good night.
I'm going to pause.
All right, bye-bye.
I think I'm going to pause it. I call the regular meeting of the WBCA to order at 6:52, and note that all members of the committee are here. Before we do the public portion, I would just ask others on the call, if you are going to be speaking on an agenda item, if you could just identify yourself, because I may move the agenda around to accommodate people's time. Tim?
Hi, my name is Tim Griffin with Lorero Engineering Associates. I'm going to be talking in regards to number 9A.
Okay.
Yeah. My name is Christopher Strong. I'm the project manager for Fuel Cell Energy. I'll be talking here on item 9A for the fuel cell.
Okay.
I have other members of my team with me as well. I'll ask them to introduce themselves. Ricky?
I'm Ricky Clark. I'm the construction manager for Fuel Cell Energy, and I will be here to address any issues with 9A.
Okay.
And Mr. LaBelle?
Good evening, gentlemen. I am Joel LaBelle. I'm also here to support any discussion regarding 9A.
Okay.
And I think that's it for the fuel cell people, and thank you.
All
right.
Joe?
Hi, my name is Joe Salem. I'm one of the principals for Derby Apartments, LLC, for 90 Main Street, for the connection fee time frame item.
All right, so in order to move this along, I would ask for a motion from committee members to move 9A and 10A right after the public portion of the meeting.
Motion to move the agenda around.
Right. Bob, you want to second that?
Second.
Okay, all in favor?
All right.
Opposed? Okay, so we can move on. Public portion, there's no one here from the public. So we can go right to 9A, Derby Fuel Cell. And I'm going to ask Ed to start this discussion. Ed, you want to update us on where we stand? Can't hear you, Ed.
Jack, can you hear me?
Now we can hear you. There you go.
Okay. Okay, so as far as the project goes, we've had a couple meetings with Mr. Strong and his team, emails back and forth between Fuel Cell and us and Bob Tedeschi with regards to trenching and pipe laying. We seem to have everything in order with both permits for the 200 Roosevelt Drive, as well as the Coon Hollow project. So everything seems to be in order. Paperwork was submitted to the city. Looks like the Board of Aldermen was approved by Vin Marino for everything that was needed to get the project underway.
Okay, now you want to address the one issue that we have with the application. The low pressure issue.
So it would appear that the proposal that Vimarino had in place was approved by the Board of Aldermen. So putting in that low pressure system does not seem to be to have any conflicts. I would ask Bob to speak on this behalf to see if he has seen any himself.
Conflicts with what? I wasn't aware of.
That we are okay to go with the low pressure system in this situation. That.
Yeah, from a technical standpoint, and from all the, you know, the drawings and the conversations, they've addressed my comments. I brought up two comments of late. They were regarding safe trench practices, and they've confirmed that they would follow OSHA and provide trenching support when needed. And the other comment I had was with the increased pipe diameter, they have to lower than anticipated velocity, but it's not domestic wastewater that they're pumping. So TR-16 is a standard that wastewater industry uses for design, and it says 3.5 feet per second. They're going to be below that, but they're pumping basically water. So there's a little concern, correct me if I'm wrong, Tim, that with the water you're pumping, it's not wastewater, there's not solids and rags in it. It's virtually water.
That's correct.
So there'll be no real need to resuspend velocity. So, and it's on them. If the applicant's low pressure sewer system backs up or clogs, or it'll be on them to clean it and maintain it. So.
All right, so my question for Ed and Rob, do we need a separate agreement beyond the regular permitting process for that?
I believe there's one already in place. You guys will have to forgive me. I'm at a huge disadvantage tonight because I don't have my laptop, so I don't have any information readily available or my notes even to go off of for the meeting tonight. But that was something that has been discussed multiple times, and I believe that was sent to Kevin White at City Hall and to Vimarino as well, and was approved.
I thought there was an issue. You'll have to update me on this. I thought there was an issue if somebody had a low pressure connection or whatever you call it, that they would have to sign that they would maintain that, not WPCA.
That is correct.
Something.
Nope, that is correct.
All right, so now I'll turn it over to Chris. You want to address that?
We have agreed to that. We're responsible for the maintenance of the line from our, I'm going to call it, point of discharge at the plant down to the manhole connection that we're proposing at the other end of the line. That is our responsibility. That's a commitment that we made. I believe that was a commitment we made to the WPCA in the letter I wrote last month, and that we have every expectation that you and the city will act accordingly and expect us to maintain this line and provide annual reports of the status of the line.
Okay, it sounds as though the city attorney has already signed off on that. That was the letter we got the other day. Okay, so if that being the case, I don't know that there's any action that this committee has to take tonight. That you're just going through the normal permitting process that we don't usually do. The staff handles that. Is that correct, Ed?
Yes, that is correct. I think at this point they were, since everything seems to be in order, I think they were asking for permission to begin construction, which from our standpoint, I think they are able to do.
Right, but you take care of that. We don't approve that, right?
Correct.
Okay. So, gentlemen, I guess your case, you're all set. So just finish the process with Ed, and you know, we look forward to a grand opening. I had a call from somebody. I don't know if they were in your public relations staff or not, a couple of weeks ago, asking about history and whatnot, and they said there was going to be a grand opening soon. Can you give us an insight on that?
So I can give you what I know, because I've not been really kept abreast of it all, except I've been told to clean up the site down on the banks of the river across from the brewery. I think there's a plan for a gala event in mid-November. Dates have been fluctuating as notables are available, so I don't really have a solid date. But what I will do, if you're willing, is I'll make sure that you are on the list of people that our public relations group will call on and let you know what is going on with this.
Actually, she hadn't called me. Wait a minute, I have to let a couple people. We've got a couple more people trying to come in the room. Give me a sec. Oh, we got knocked out.
Yeah.
Oh, that's Kelly. She hadn't contacted me at WPCA. She contacted, I don't know if it was the Historical Society or someone else, and they told her to call me about the history. So it wasn't as a WPCA person that I talked to her. So, but okay. Anxious to see progress.
I'll be happy to make sure that she does contact you and explain to me why you're not invited. But I have every expectation.
No, she said she would invite me. That wasn't an issue. It was just, you know, she wanted some history. And somebody told her that I know a lot about history, which isn't necessarily true. But I thought it was interesting because in the middle of the conversation, I said, oh, by the way, you know, your people were at our meeting a week ago. And she didn't know that, so. And we're also pleased that your check has arrived at City Hall. So we're very pleased with that, too.
And I will let you know that the check for the smaller project that we were talking about today, I won't say the check is in the mail, but I know that it's processed far enough that the accountants called me up and said, asked me to explain the charge that hits the balance sheet. So that means the check will be cut.
Okay. All right. Good luck.
Thank you very much. I want to thank you all for your support. I want to extend an open invitation. Please call Ricky Clark if you would like to come visit the site or drive by and, you know, bring your dog and let your dog see what's going on.
I'd love to get down there and see it. I drive by it all the time. So whatever. So,
thank you very much.
Okay.
If you have anything more for me, you know, please let me know. Otherwise, I will... I'm going to sign off.
Yeah, I think contact right now, everything you do now would be with Ed.
Fair enough.
Okay.
Once I found out how to get to the water treatment plant, it was very easy to talk to Ed, and I very much appreciate that I was able to get down there. It is a challenge crossing the road on Route 34, though.
It's getting better. It's getting better. You're going to see a big change in about 3 weeks. Hopefully that'll make it a little better. So... okay, thanks and good luck.
Thank you very much.
Okay, now I want to move on to 10A. We're talking about connection fees and time frame because I have some questions and issues. But Joe, I'm going to ask you to talk because you were the one who made a request here. So you want to talk about it?
Sure. Thank you, Jack, and thank you to all the members for giving me the time and opportunity to respectfully request that you possibly take a look and maybe revise the connection fee times. This is a big project down on 90 Main Street, 105 units, and totally frank and completely honest with you guys, this is a very challenging economical project. The banks are tight with us, and the pro forma pretty much was a tight squeeze before the interest rates shot up in the last couple of years, and now it's even more challenging. I know nobody likes to hear that from a developer crying the blues, but this is a this could set a good an interesting precedent, because I spoke with other developers that are currently working on similar projects, and you know, we would look forward to doing more in the city of Derby. We think it's going to be a huge improvement for everyone. You know, with these modern buildings coming in, the problem is the construction cost and the infrastructure costs for development today is very high. And again, coupled with the interest rates, it's challenging. So even on connecting, like say for example, for the water pollution control fee, you know, a year before we open, is, you know, it could be anywhere from $15,000 to $20,000 in just interest that we'll be paying on that money before we receive a nickel in revenue. And I certainly understand that the economic challenges that the WCPA faces on a regular basis, and you guys are, you know, I commend you on the, you know, your dedication to keeping the city, you know, responsible for, you know, upgrades, and you know, I understand the challenges that you guys have, just respectfully.
Yeah, we're all insane for being here.
I know you'd all have better things to do, but you know, dedicating your time to the city is certainly commendable. It's a joint effort. I think the city is going to move forward in a way that we haven't seen in decades, and I hope to continue to invest in the city. And you know, every little bit really makes a big difference. So if there's something that is not going to, you know, negatively impact the WPCA by, you know, allowing us to make our payments, you know, when we open, that's what we do in Shelton. And I assume that's what we did in Derby. I was wrong. But if you would consider, you know, reviewing that process, I think it would be, I think it would show a lot of good faith on the city's part, as long as it's not going to impede any kind of, you know, economic impact for the city. I would just request that you guys consider doing what we do over in Shelton, as far as allowing us to pay when we receive our CO.
And let me just comment, because I was terribly confused about this whole thing when I first heard. So I went out to what we have on the website, and I also spoke to Ed, and I also looked at the application itself, so trying to get a better understanding myself, and I'm still somewhat confused. There's past practice and then there's language, and I think we need to go back and look at it. I'm not comfortable with doing anything tonight, because I think, you know, even Joe, you said it, we need to look at it as whatever our process is going to be for anyone that comes in to do this. And let me tell you where I ran into a problem. First of all, the application itself doesn't have the time frame, but past practice has always been that the fees were submitted with the application. And again, that's past practice. That's not in writing. Then I look further into the document, and in the document, it talks about the fees and the application have to be paid 45 days before, I think it says before any work is done. But again, I'm not a lawyer, and I would just like to be comfortable that we're all on the same page with the language. So whatever is decided is the same for everyone forever. You know, we did that with the rates. But we didn't do it with this, because I don't think any of us ever thought about it. You know, probably because we haven't had to think about it too much in the last 15 or 20 years. So my recommendation is that everyone on this committee go out and study what's in the language, and that Ed, you and Rob come back with a recommendation on what you think the language should be, and that next month we vote change or not change, and make that consistent in the policy, and that the application itself the form that people fill out, have that information right on the form, that you don't go to any place else and have to look for it. So if it says it's going to be 45 days before, it's right on there. If it's going to be at the moment it's applied, because people can apply at any time. Joe, tell me why you applied early. Because, you know, the project isn't going to be completed until sometime next year.
Jack, I don't hold me to this, because I could be wrong, but I believe it was a condition of the building permit. I could be wrong, but I think before we had we were issued a building permit, we had to apply and get approval. Does that sound accurate to anybody?
Yes, that's correct. So what happens is, once they go down to the building department to pull a permit, they're told that they have to go to all the other departments, one of them being the WPCA, to fill out a permit with us. And that permit has to be filled out before they can connect into the city sewer. One of the issues that we're running into with this project is that's one of the first projects that was to get underway with the apartments going in, as the connection was already made. So being that they just broke ground, they already connected into the city sewer, now you have a year before or 2 years before the apartments are going to be occupied.
And I can see some issues with that. I can see that. That's why, you know, again, I'd like to have the whole committee take a look at the issue and understand the language. Because I guess at this point, maybe we should also be talking to the building commission. We went through this a little bit with the fuel cell, because we told them that they couldn't come to us until they had all those other issues resolved. And I think we want to make this as easy as possible for people coming into the city. And I think we need to understand what is the order that you apply for things, because, you know, this is the first time I face it. I've been on the commission for 7 years. The first time it's come up as an issue. So,
hey Jack, I'm not comparing apples to apples, but situation that I had up in Bethel, it was a Toll Brothers project, 233 units put in, and I had to chase them to get the permits taken for each unit instead of having them all paid up front. And that was understandable, seeing it was, you know, like I say, 233 units. I can understand where Joe's coming from. As long as the okay is given to be tied, I mean, I know we need to research it, but I think as long as when the WPCA says, yes, you can tie into our sewer, and they get their permit, again, the reason for doing this is trying to get, instead of the nightmare of chasing down 233 applicants, that's what we had to do with Toll Brothers. It's a pain in the neck. Right. But I feel like with what Joe's got there, he's already got money tied up in it. He's got the structure started. I think as long as we had some kind of a clause in there that said he will not get a C of O until our permit is paid in full, I don't see where it's going to impact us, because there's going to be nothing flowing into that sewer until Joe gets his C of O. You know what I mean? I mean, I understand where the city's coming from the side of collecting all the money, but it's also a lot of money that Joe's got to put out up front, where we've kind of done things a little bit backwards. He's already got a portion of the structure in. It's already good faith that we know he's going to complete it. He's not going to walk away from it now. And if he did walk away from it, we still would be C of O. If someone else came in there and, say, took over the project, as long as we hold that C of O ransom to get our payment, like I say, it's not going to affect our impact to our system until Joe is up and running. And any other unit, one of the units up there on Caroline Street, I don't know. I'm just using this as a particular here. You know, it's the same thing. You go up on Caroline Street and you look, and they've already dismantled everything in there. It's a big construction site. But I think as long as it's not impacting our system, that we should be able to say, I mean, we have the right as a WPCA to make a decision or make changes. This one here, I think that as long as it's understood, there will not be a CFO issued until we receive payment. I think we're okay.
I think that's reasonable, but I think it should be written into the regulation so everybody sure. understands how that works.
Jack,
go ahead, Bob.
I'm going to say it. I guess it would determine whether the building is going to be empty and not occupied until it's completed, or is it going to be partially activated as it went along? In other words, they're going to open five floors or how many floors, or whatever it is, all at once, or we're going to be leasing these out or whatever we're doing with it, where they would need a tie-in before the final completion, before a final CO was given. In other words, I'm looking at.
I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. Go ahead, Joe.
I'm fairly confident that we're not going to get a CO until the building's complete, so it's going to be empty. And if it is, if it is that case, Bob, then we would still need a CO for any apartment to be rented, and then right. I would assume that we'll pay in full at that point, the first one. You know, okay. instead of paying, you know, individually at 105 different connections. No, right. I would say as soon as we get the first CO, I would say that's when, you know, I would hope you guys could agree with us that we'd make our payment then.
Yeah, I just that if it's other builders, not necessarily this project, but other projects in town, whatever we do should cover all eventuality, really. Whether it be 100% or partial.
That's a good point. I mean, say, for example, we run into a huge economic downturn and 40% of these apartments are not leased.
Correct.
And we're paying a hunt for 105 connections. I guess that's the chance. That's the risk we take as developers. But, you know, if we could work in accordance with a board like you guys to at least soften the blow a little bit. Again, the interest for, you know, 18 months is significant these days. It's not a small amount. And again, like what Kelly was saying, as long as there's not going to be a cost incurred to the city, you know, until then, I really appreciate you guys considering, you know, rewording it. I think Don and the other developers, as we move forward, it would be a good sign working together that this is another sign of the city encouraging and, you know, working with the developers to really properly develop this, you know, the anywhere, not just the South Main Street, but anywhere. You know, I think we're going to start.
I think the board here agrees. You just have to, as Jack said, put something together that covers all situations.
Right. I wouldn't want to not have the language clear and then have every project's going to be done have to become an appeal. Everybody should know up front how it's going to be. It just, again, it makes the process easier for everyone. It also makes it go faster.
Well,
every time there's a delay, it messes everybody up. I think if we get the language nailed down, we can straighten this out. So,
the big thing, Jack, is communication between us and the building department. That's the problem I have up in Bethel. There's no communication between the departments across the hall. And when getting back to like a partial CO, any form of a CO has to be, if one is being given out, any port of a CFO, then we need to have payment in full with an understanding that the building department knows that too. Because again, sometimes they don't communicate very well.
Yeah, well, I agree. I think we're all in agreement with that. So Joe, we'll work on that. And next month, hopefully we'll have some language that we can work with.
I really want to thank you guys for working with us on this and looking forward to working further in the city of Derby. Thanks again.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Take care. Good night.
Good night.
Bye. let's move on with the rest of the agenda. I don't think it's going to be as long because there's some pieces that aren't too good. Approval of minutes, what's your pleasure?
Motion to approve the 9/12 and 9/20 minutes.
Second by Bob, all in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Kelly?
Yeah, aye, aye, sir.
Okay, opposed, abstained, we approve the minutes. Engineers report. Rob, you're up.
Yep, we've talked about half of the items on the list already. So the only thing I would add is on the Route 34 project, once they transfer traffic over to the north or from the north to the south side, we can install that last piece of sewer. And so I've heard end of August. I've heard of October. So hopefully in November they'll put the sewer in. But once there's a,
yeah, they have to get it done before the plant's closed for the asphalt. So
yeah,
and they have been working. And they paved the intersection there today. Going down towards the junkyard. So
yeah, they look like they got one more course to do.
Yeah, the whole length they've got another course to do.
Yeah,
because the sewers are still sticking up. So
right,
but it's nice to see the progress. It looks great. It really does. So you shall see. Then,
Jack, Jack, if I could ask, you mentioned a junkyard. I thought I saw something Monday Board of Aldermen meeting about funding to take over that junkyard.
They tabled that. So
the whole meeting was tabled?
Well, the last meeting I saw, almost everything on the agenda was tabled except for the legal piece they had to do.
Just Monday, they had a special meeting.
I didn't see that.
Oh, and it was nothing. I had seen nothing about whatever happened, but it was called a special meeting. There were, if I'm not mistaken, there were four projects that were awarded funding from the state. Not exactly where from the state, I'm not sure. But one of them was money for that junkyard.
Yeah, well, that was already approved. They got economic development funds for that. But the Board of Aldermen has to approve.
Well, that was the meeting Monday night.
Okay. I don't think they did anything, but you can go out and I will. Right, as soon as we're done, I'll go and check to see if the minutes are posted yet.
Okay.
But I went on Zoom and in person to like three of the meetings, and every time they did it, it didn't even get discussed.
Yeah. They didn't have a quorum.
One meeting they had a quorum, and they just tabled everything. So.
The other was the money for the walkway as well.
Yeah, all of them. There were four projects. There was one with Griffin Hospital, two with actually, one with Griffin and another one with Yale. So
I don't remember that. Okay.
All right, Rob?
Yeah, then just on the II removal projects, phase four, which we completed last year, we held the retainage for a year. It's $5,700. The National Water Main did that project, and they'll be submitting the bill probably for next month. So okay. Expect that bill. And next week, National Water Main is also doing phase five. They should be doing the last three segments next week. The materials are in. They're ready to go. And they were supposed to have a bill ready for this meeting. They did not. So they'll have their first payment request next month.
Okay. Anything else before we get to the bill?
That's it.
Any questions for Rob?
Bob, did you happen to put on the proposal for the NPDES permit renewal?
No, I did not. I owe you that. I will be drafting a proposal to help you with your NPDES permit renewal. Yeah, it's due early. I want to say it's due end of February. Your permit expires in August, so it's 6 months before that. So I will be submitting that.
And what is that?
So you operate a you have a discharge permit, NPDES, oh, National Pollution Discharge Elimination. You have all your nitrogen limits, your flow, everything, and you have to renew it every 5 years.
Okay. And I'll just ask the one, you know, now that we approved the affordability study, you think we'll make this December 31st deadline?
So the December 31st deadline is for plans and specifications. So that's got to change. So we're gonna need to request new dates. I think it's prudent to shoot for that date. The facilities plan was submitted on that June 30 as requested. That's the plan. They commented on them. One of the comments was the affordability study that Reftelis is going to do. So so the facilities plan was done as part of the referendum fund. So that's another reason why I think that the comments, this is, we're addressing DEP comments. So the Reftelis study would fall in the referendum. So but once the affordability study is done, the state can then approve the facilities plan. And so then we will change the dates for the next submittals, which would be drawings and specifications. Once we know what that is, you know, what is phase one, what is the schedule that would be in the approved facilities plan, we can then submit a request to revise the last four dates. So when would we submit drawings? When would that construction start? When will it end? That's what those when it'll be operational. So those dates are, we're going to have a request to change those. And we should submit that request before the end of the year, because we don't want to submit it.
Well, I would suggest then that we notify them that we've approved the contract to do the affordability study to show good faith. And then we say the affordability study is going to affect the other report. We're going to have to ask for extensions. Does that make sense?
Yes. And I think we can, as we move into the study with Reftelis over the next several weeks, we could probably get a better handle as to when phase one would start.
Okay.
And then we can actually give them that. And then the dates would just be pertaining to phase one.
Okay. So, all right. Any other questions for Rob? Hearing none, move on. Approval of bills. The only bill we have there is this one, Wesson and Sampson, for $27.55. What's your pleasure? This is regular on call, not by.
Make a motion to pay.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstain? Okay. And with that, finance reports. I can't deal with this anymore. I'm just going to ask for a motion to reject the financial report submitted. I'm not even going to waste my time talking about it.
Motion to reject.
Second.
Okay. Any further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstain. Transfers. Did we have a transfer?
Yes.
Yeah, there's one transfer. $581,927.23 in the capital fees. It's your pleasure.
Make a motion to transfer.
Second.
Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstain. Okay. Ed, you're up. Why don't I have you on here? I don't have you on here, but you're up anyways, Ed.
Okay. All right.
Because your report's in here.
If
so
you can. All right. If I'm using your report since I don't have my laptop, so if you can scroll up a little bit.
Okay. Can you see it now? I can make
it. I am only seeing the maintenance. Well, if you could.
Oh, scroll down then.
Yes. Okay. Sorry. All right. I'm still not getting the top part of it. I'm only getting the where it says total flow. Yeah, there we go. Okay. The collection system for September 2023, we responded to a total of 71 call before you dig tickets with five emergencies and responded to a total of five emergency callouts. For the wastewater treatment plant in September, we had an average flow of 1.4 million gallons per day, a total flow of 43.3 million gallons a day with a max daily flow of 4.5 million gallons per day. Average total nitrogen for the month was 61 pounds per day. Our limit is 70. Our annual average for the year is 56. Average effluent BOD is 4 milligrams per liter. Suspended solids is 3 milligrams per liter, and the average turbidity was 3.5. For maintenance, RAS pump number 3 was taken offline, rebuilt, and put back in service. We cleared multiple blockages from the blend tank sludge line during the heavy rain event. We also cleared a blockage and rebuilt the sludge pump from that during that same rain event. We completed 630 feet of sewer jetting and 1,546 feet of CCTV work. And in general, we had discussions for the MITI's permit renewal, which Bob already discussed, and the fuel cell on 49 Coon Hollow Road.
Just taking care of. And Ed, did we have an overflow that should be reported on the website?
Fortunately, we did not have any overflows that day.
No, I don't mean that, but I thought we had one last month or something. I didn't see it up on the website.
I will have to go back and check. I thought I gave Mark all of the updated reports, but I will go back and double check.
Yeah, check to see, because sometimes you may have sent it and you didn't get it up yet. So, because we did tell Deep that we would always have those up there. So, okay. I'm going to go to 9B very quickly. All I'm going to say, it's a total mess. We don't have anyone in place. Ed was trying to help do some things, but that became a union issue, so we can't do that. So, there's an out for a position, and I think at some point we have to look at this whole thing because it just doesn't work the way it's structured, okay? And I get caught in too much of the middle of this. I mean, I'm not an employee. I don't think any of us should be involved in day-to-day operations, but that happens now. I think we have to sit down with the city and what's the structure that we need to make this work, especially whenever we're going to have a situation like this where we lose somebody. And it's a mess. That's all I'm going to say. I'm not a happy camper at all. I can't tell you how much time I've been spending the last few weeks, and it's got to be a better way of doing this. It's got to be a better way. We have to get somebody in there, and they also have to get the finance department straightened out so we get our financial report. So I don't have much more. If you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer. But Marcy, did retire. We had the other person come in, and she quit the day after our meeting. And nothing's working the way it should at this point.
Have you had any applicants, Jack?
It's advertised again right now as we speak. So,
but no one showed up?
We didn't have anyone from internal, and then the ads got pulled for the external, and now they're back. So the sooner the better. But, we really do need to have a discussion how this should be structured. My own personal feeling is that Ed should be the head, the staff head of WPCA, okay? And it's not really structured that way now, okay? You've got the office is kind of off on its own, and the plant is off on its own. They need to come together. I don't have the mechanism for doing that, but but I think we need to sit down and talk with the city, particularly, you know, we have the issue with part-time staff, and we have a peak, as we just had, and we don't have the staff to meet that peak, and the tax office also has staff, and they have a peak, which is different than ours. There should be some way of getting that all coordinated to work together so we can save more money and be more efficient and be more responsive to the public. We still can't accept credit cards. So all I can say is I'm very frustrated. Not with this committee, because I think everybody goes overboard, and so does the staff, but it should be a cleaner process all the way around. So, and I think we covered 10A. So we're at that key point in the meeting. Okay, Kelly? Bob, you want a second?
No. I was going to ask you what time Dodgers were coming on, but I think it's the same time.
I'm not even watching any of the playoffs. I'm all done. I'm waiting for basketball season. So second motion.
I'll second that motion.
Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Abstain? We'll keep you posted. But, hey, tonight was still a good meeting because we got the most important thing done that we had to do, which was the affordability study contracted and paid for. So it's going to happen. But before the next meeting, please go to the city website and take a look at the documents that are there for the connection fees, because I heard some good things from everybody today. If we could incorporate that, I think we'd make life easier for everyone. So thanks.
All right, Jack, have a good night. Hey, congratulations on your, what was your niece, your grandniece?
My grandniece, that's how old I am.
Yeah.
She won the Naugatuck Valley League Championship cross country today.
Nice.